section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Jimmy Jacobs is in the news, a bloody Friday night, and Stinger breaks his silence. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So the longtime Ring of Honor wrestler is going to be joining WWE Creative. Is that true, or is this kind of a rumor mill?
Not so much rumor mill, because this is something that it sounds like it's 90% true. And of course, some of the best rumors are, they take a little grain of truth and they try to make it into something that it isn't. However, though, this has been given on good authority that Jimmy Jacobs is going to be joining WWE Creative, and they're saying it's going to be after WrestleMania. And Jimmy Jacobs is kind of a flamboyant, kind of out there, a little out there character who's been with Ring of Honor for 10 years now. He actually is part of the group, the decade. Him and Roderick Strong and BJ Whitmer, and then they had a young guy with them too, but they were the decade because they had been there for so long, and it was to get rid of people who would come and go, you know, like an AJ Styles or a Samoa Joe. But I think that he seems like maybe he has some creative input with his character, and so going to WWE Creative, if you have a wrestler who's a part of Creative, it could be a good thing. And so this is, I actually think, a really smart signing. However, though, it is kind of interesting that WWE has really been reaching for Ring of Honor talent, and in creative ways, no pun intended, they're going after somebody for creating storylines.
Yeah, that's it's interesting because you don't really hear too much what Jimmy Jacobs does behind the scenes. And I'm wondering if there's more than meets the eye, if you want to go that far. Something, mm-hmm. Because something's up, maybe, I guess you hear certain guys do more behind the scenes, and I never really heard much about him, but I guess he's been doing a lot behind the scenes, and I guess we're gonna find out. I'm just wondering how much creative control he's gonna have with which characters, because this would make sense if they are bringing a Samoa Joe in. This will make sense because who knows Samoa Joe better than, well, the guy who booked him,
Yeah.
So that would make a lot of sense. And also, Jimmy Jacobs did a good – if he was the one that did Scum, I thought that entire angle was really good too.
Yeah, he I don't know if he had any input with that, but that might be a reason why. He might have been a part of some of the most popular Ring of Honor storylines, and so WWE looks at that and they're going to get talent from wherever they can. And, TNA, they're being a little easy about getting talent from them because there was a lawsuit that we had talked about. It seems like probably 100 episodes ago now. But, going after Ring of Honor, it's not the same because they're not competing on the same level as WWE was with, kind of with TNA. So probably a smart move on their part. And Jimmy Jacobs, hopefully they utilize him correctly.
I also want to point out, you brought up the whole thing with the lawsuit. If you remember, in Ring of Honor's defense on this one, they have let WWE use so much of their footage. It's unreal how much they've used. And you see it a lot. Plus, they've interviewed people. Gabe, actually, have interviewed Gabe a couple of times, and that's on the WWE DVD stuff. So
yeah,
that there's a good working relationship with them. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did work out something where Samoa Joe needs to cool down because he was in TNA. Plus, they're running all these shows that I think now, or in 2 weeks, they're actually going to be the new set of tapings. So I think they want to have him a cooling off period, but they want him to still be relevant and make money, if that makes sense.
I don't think, that may not be the case necessarily. I understand what you're saying. But Andy, let's move on, though, from Jimmy Jacobs and Ring of Honor to Larry Zbysko, the living legend. And a lot of us know him best for being a part of the announce team for WCW. However, though, he had a very long and illustrious career with AWA before that. And he was actually an AWA champion. And he is finally going into the Hall of Fame. Is this long overdue? Is this the right time? What would you say? Is Larry Zbysko worthy of the Hall of Fame?
Well, I can't really show you what I'm doing on the podcast, but I can just every Nitro, I can remember one thing about Larry Zbysko. When he would get bored with Bobby the Brain and Tony Schiavone talking, he'd look left, he'd look right, he'd look again, and everyone would start cheering for him even more. He's like, I got to go say hi to my fans. And I think, in a way, that was also his way of like, I got to put up with these guys. That's how I always took it.
I actually love that. Like, no joke. I thought that was kind of cool because I didn't know Larry Zbysko because, of course, we watched WWF growing up. You know, we didn't get AWA. And so it was like, who is this guy? And man, these people love him. And a little bit of arrogance, but not to the point where you hate him, you know? And this is without knowing his wrestling past. Knowing a little bit more about it now, he is absolutely deserve it to be in the Hall of Fame. And I think that this, you know, I don't want to say long overdue. I think that this is probably, you know, about the right time, you know, going in finally. But, you know, it's well deserved. And, you know, I don't know if he's going to be the last one to go in this year, but, you know, kudos to him. I actually can't wait to hear his speech. I think that's going to be one of the highlights.
I think he's going to be the one that gets bumped. Just like, I can't think of the guy's name now, but the one that we didn't like last year for the Hall of Fame.
Well, I thought that all of them say something, don't they?
They all do, but if you remember Primo and Epico's dad, and also Mr. T, they got the time constraint because Warrior got to talk as long as he wanted to.
So well, deservedly so.
Right, so of course he got bumped, which I thought was funny because I think he was going to get 10 minutes and they're like 5. And I like the fact that Carlito said something about that, which I thought was hilarious. Mm-hmm. He's like, it feels like I'm back home, which, I find that funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hope Zbysko, they give him enough time. But I think he'll be the first one out. If we had to.
You know, he probably will too. I know there's a rumor of Kevin Nash going in. You know, he may be actually the headliner since they try to get somebody who's alive to headline the show. I actually am really looking forward to hearing Hulk Hogan and Lanny Poffo's speech about Randy Savage. I think that's going to be really great. You know, Kevin Nash, I would actually look forward to hearing his as well. So I actually think this year's Hall of Fame might be one of the better ones, not star power wise, but of people that you and I grew up watching or have watched. You know, I think that there's going to be a lot of really great stories that's going to come from this. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Kevin Nash is not going in. I'm going to say that right now. Kevin Nash will not go in. Just like how we know for a fact that good old Daniel Bryan is going to be stuck with the IC belt, at least right now.
I don't think he's going to be stuck with it, but Daniel Bryan is in a very interesting spot right now. He is...
Who's more over right now in wrestling right now than Daniel Bryan?
Who's more over? Daniel Bryan is still probably the most over guy. Here's the thing. WWE's creative and Vince McMahon had a plan for Roman Reigns over a year ago. And I truly believe, without a shadow of a doubt. Now, you know, obviously we're going to go into our prediction show next week. We're going to talk about what's going to happen. But spoiler alert, Roman Reigns is going to win. Okay? He is going to win without a shadow of a doubt. And I'm going to repeat myself because I'm going to say it next week too. When Brock Lesnar beat Undertaker last year, that was a massive moment because it was a holy crap. I did not believe that that would ever happen, and Brock Lesnar was the one that did it. He goes on to win the world title. He looked super strong. Roman Reigns also looked strong. So they're going a parallel course, and Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar are going to meet head on. And if Roman Reigns does not beat Brock Lesnar, then Brock Lesnar beating Undertaker last year at WrestleMania was worthless, in my opinion. So that's what they're doing. And the problem is that Roman Reigns is still not ready. Now, don't get me wrong. As I've said before in the show, Roman Reigns is the guy that they are going to get behind, and I am going to talk about what things they could do and should do. But in my opinion, still, Daniel Bryan's the most over guy, and he has no shot of doing anything of importance right now at WrestleMania.
Really?
Winning the IC title would be cool, but you know, it's not the same, you know?
You're stating now that Roman, they said a year ago, Roman Reigns is going to win the world title. And they're not
Absolutely.
And the fans said basically, we'll take over shows. As in, we're in the reality era, as they're saying now.
Yeah.
You would think,
they said they didn't care. At that point in time, though, they're saying this is the course that we are on. It is not going to steer away from it at all. At all.
What if, okay, but the thing is, what if he's one of the biggest flops? Because he could, realistically,
he will be.
He has the potential to be one of the biggest flops. His matches haven't changed. He might have added maybe a move here or there. He's not calling his spots. Someone else is calling all of his spots. Yes, I understand that at first that's how it is for the people who are green. The spots are called. One guy calls every spot. Okay, I get it. But Brock Lesnar doesn't call his spots. He never does. Whoever he wrestles, they're the ones calling the spots. Taker called every spot in the match. It was very obvious. There was also spots, especially when Brock wrestled Cena. Cena called every single spot. To me, it's saying, okay, how are they going to work this match then? Because if this is going to be Roman Reigns' first time where he's calling the shots the entire match, there's going to be problems. I like watching Botchamania for a lot of reasons because you can tell when the same guy goes for like a hip toss and both guys go for the hip toss. There's a reason because they're not used to saying, okay, this guy is going to call his own spots, but then he'll tell me when it's my turn. That's not going on here. This is going to be one of the worst matches we've ever seen. And I can't wait to do the post show because all we're going to do is talk about how bad this match was. And in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if it gets bad within the first 5 minutes. If they try and let it go 10 minutes and it's still bad, I bet you anything they're going to send Seth Rollins out there to cash in and say that we got to do it. This is the wild card we have to play. That's what I believe is going to end up happening, unfortunately.
Well, something has to happen. We're going to have to talk about this with, you know, and there'll be more people on, so it'll be a more interesting discussion. But something is going to have to happen at the very end of the show because I don't think you can just have Roman win the title and then end it like they did with Daniel Bryan last year because that was a feel good moment. Everyone wanted Daniel Bryan to win. And even though we all knew he was going to win, it was still, I want to see it. You know, you go see the Dark Knight, you know Batman's not going to die. You know Batman's going to win, but you want to see how, you know, and it's kind of the same thing. You want to see what was going to happen with Daniel Bryan. I know that Roman Reigns is going to win, but the fans are going to crap all over that main event if something exciting doesn't happen, whether Roman turns heel, Seth Rollins cashes in, or something else, you know, A, B, or C. One of those three things has to happen because, you know, one of the things that, to kind of tie everything together real quick is that Roman Reigns promo on Monday night, Daniel Bryan was getting chants during it, you know, like on Thursday night SmackDown, he came out to boos, you know, he's not well liked. He's not well respected right now in the wrestling community. And I think it really shows. So they have to do something here in order to make this main event salvageable.
You think it's going to be?
Well, and you know, like I said, I gave a couple of suggestions you have as well. And on our show next week, we are going to talk about it with Doug Hahn and a couple other people. Probably we're going to talk about what they could do because this is a really big topic. It really is. And we've been going over this now for weeks. It seems like months, really.
I can't let it go. That's the problem.
No, I hear you.
It's one thing if the guy is somewhat ready, if he's just a little bit ready. But when you see how bad he is, and yes, he's my skills might have improved a little bit, it's nowhere near where they need to be. Not even close. And if you want to take your chances with him, that's fine. I mean, the one thing, speaking of WrestleMania, though, going on the same topic, I don't understand why Taker's coming back to wrestle Bray Wyatt. I don't get it. I think, hypothetically, let's say Bray does beat Undertaker. Let's say it does happen. Okay, I get it. I do get it. But, I don't know.
Well, and you know, of course, we're not going to go into predictions for this. But let's just talk about the setup. You know, it's kind of the, you have Undertaker, who is the phenom, the guy who is the dead man. And he has this mystique about him. And he always has, ever since he debuted as Kane the Undertaker. You know, he's always had that mystique. And Bray Wyatt is kind of in a similar fashion. You know, he has a little bit of a mystique to it. The only thing about this one, though, and I think it suffers from the same effect that Roman and Brock's feud are suffering from, is I don't know what I'm getting excited over. You know, with Brock and Reigns, it's the main event. It's for the WWE title. They're trying to make it so Brock looks unstoppable and that Reigns isn't going to be able to do it. And with Bray and Undertaker, I'm a little confused as to why I care, other than the fact that both of these are kind of supernatural beings. And I think that WWE really needs to have something there. At least with Reigns and Brock, you have Heyman there as kind of the mediator. But with Taker and Bray, you don't really have anything. You just have Bray cutting a promo every single week about The Undertaker, and Taker's nowhere to be found, and he doesn't have any minions that can go after it. Kane's not being a part of this. You know, I'm curious what you feel about the lead up to it as opposed to what the match may be itself.
The lead up has been interesting. I think Bray Wyatt, the one thing that I've learned about Bray Wyatt is that he can rock the mic. His promos are probably the best. I'd say right now in wrestling, the best. The best promos anyone can cut, Bray Wyatt does it. But also, he's not wrestling that much. But when he wrestles, he still can put on a decent match. Like, way above average Mike Sanders matches. Like, way above. I would say not. If you want to get a grading scale, I couldn't say that it was an A match. But he's putting on some solid Bs, and I would push B pluses on some of them. And his mic skills are A plus, 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 you know, like eBay. So had to throw that in there. So that's the one thing about Bray. So you have almost a complete package with him. He can wrestle. He has the look. He can talk. And then now he's going against The Undertaker. I just wish that they would do something with Taker beforehand, have a little montage of him either training or have him, I don't know. I guess you can't have him training because he's the dead man, right?
Yeah, and you know, they want to have that mystique about him too. So I'm not sure exactly what they're gonna do. It's a little perplexing, you know, like they have to have something there, or they needed to have a shorter buildup to this because it's been going on since Royal Rumble, since right after Royal Rumble. And then finally at Fastlane, they had the whole reveal, which I thought was smart, you know, to have that type of a reveal. But I almost wish they would have done that, like, you know, this week, you know, do the reveal. It just seems that you can only do so much with so little. And I think that's what they're running into right now.
Do you think this should have been a gimmick match, like some type of gimmick, like a casket match, buried alive match? Do you think that that's what this should have been? Because
yeah, I do, actually.
Hypothetically, you could do a very live match, and this is when I would say Bray needs to go over. Because then you have Taker get buried, and then he can come out and say, the Undertaker is 100% dead. Hi, I'm Mark Calloway. Or
yeah.
Or I can't remember what else he was beforehand.
Mean Mark Calloway, yeah.
Yeah, Mean Mark Calloway, yeah. Or, you know, Isaac Yankum.
Well, that was Kane.
I know. I just want to say it because I just watched that episode where they go over it, which he'll hang up on you if you calls into your radio show and you say, hey, what's up, Isaac? He'll hang up on you.
Oh, that's mean of him.
Yes, it is. But he finds it funny. But anyways, that's why I wish that if you're going to because Taker, they say he's in bad shape, but people have seen pictures of him training now. He does look good. But the thing is, why not just say, let's call it. Let's have you buried alive, over with. It's done. Or why don't they just say, hey, Kane and Undertaker wrestle like Taker wanted, and it's over with. Or have Sting wrestle Undertaker. I mean,
I think that might happen next year, and I'm going to talk about that, you know, on our show. Andy, we talked about Randy Orton a little bit last week, but let's talk about him a little bit more. His master plan finally came to fruition, and he got one over on Seth Rollins last week. And even this week, he was able to get another one over on Seth Rollins. What did you think of his comments on why he did the things that he did? And what do you think this is going to mean for their match at WrestleMania?
All right, so you're going to have to refresh me on this part because I think I fast forward over it.
So his master plan, he was like, oh, I wanted to make them feel at ease so that way they were vulnerable. And then that's when I striked,
okay,
you know,
I got it. And then at the end, basically, everyone left Seth Rollins. So he was all by himself. And then, of course, they all come out and they decided to attack him, which I thought was, or they tried to at least. And I thought that was interesting. I do like the fact that, yes, he has taken Seth Rollins on. I almost wish that they would have done this last week, if that makes sense. Like, because I guess last week you basically knew that they were going to wrestle at WrestleMania. But I wish that the matches would be set in stone. Like, at least if you're having 10 matches, at least 7 of them are set.
When was the last time a WrestleMania had 10 matches?
There's going to be 11 matches at WrestleMania. Including the pre-show, there will be 11.
Without including the pre-show, there's going to be 8 matches, just like there is every single year. 8.
No, there was 10 last time I checked.
You're saying for this year there is 10?
So far, there's 10.
Really? Because so far there's 11, or there's so far there's 8 and not 10. In fact, real quick, just so you know, I went to WrestleMania 31 on Wikipedia, since it has a very good list. So far, there are currently 8 matches. You, of course, have the Lesnar and Reigns, Sting, Triple H, Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale, the IC title match, Taker, Wyatt, Rusev, Cena, the Divas match, and then Orton v. Rollins. Now, I know that there was talk, of course, about the Dust Brothers, but that's not going to happen since they are in the IC title match. They're in the IC title match. And then you also have Miz and Miz Dow. I don't think that's going to happen.
That's going to happen, and I also think that they're going to do something with the tag champs.
I'm sorry. The tag titles, they're definitely going to have to do something with. That would be 9. However, I think they do this every single year. They only do like 8 matches at a WrestleMania, which is like, I don't understand that, you know? It doesn't make any sense, in my opinion.
Especially since it's 4 hours. That means, yeah, hypothetically, you're giving each match curtain to curtain 30 minutes, hypothetically. Which we know that some of these matches are going to go, like, let's just be honest, the Divas match is going to go maybe 10 minutes.
So last year there were 8 matches, one of which was on the pre-show.
Didn't they have
there
a lot
were 7 matches
well?
Last year.
Wasn't there a lot of talking at last year's WrestleMania?
That is true, because it was 30, so there was a lot of talking. But nonetheless, I mean, still 7, you know, that's not a lot. The year before that, there was 8, 9 with the pre-show. So it you know, it's not uncommon that they do this.
So what you're stating, at least, is that Daniel Bryan was in about 28% of the matches last year?
Basically, yeah. Year before that, also, you know, 8. So anyway, Andy, moving on, you know, from Orton, I still think it was rather interesting, you know, telling the plan, why he did it. I actually like this type of Orton a lot better. You know, they've done a really good job with him, I think. You know, his character has evolved quite a bit over the years. His match against Seth Rollins, I actually think, will be a really good one. And this is one of them, in my opinion, that is really up in the air. So, you know, when we do our show next week, it'll be interesting to see what everyone thinks, because I think it's going to be 50-50 versus for Rollins and whoever's picking Orton.
I was trying to think of a swerve. Something how Rollins would beat Orton, and then somehow it was all done on purpose. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was trying to find something out, but the one thing I also want to talk about is that the WWE Network had something, which this is why I should probably watch wrestling live. If you switch over to the WWE Network right as soon as Raw went off air, you get to see Cole interview Orton. Orton talked a little bit, and then Cole gave the mic to Sting, and Sting actually spoke. He didn't say much. But I thought it was interesting that he came out there, said it's been a long 14 years, and I can't, since I've been in this ring, and that was pretty much about it. And also talked about how he's going to beat Triple H. But I just thought that was interesting. They put that on the network, but I was wondering if they were trying to see how many people switch all of a sudden over. But they've been doing that a lot more, so I wouldn't be surprised if eventually they move in a way where, I don't know, like they start doing more stuff right after Raw, just to, you know, see if it's a ratings grabber.
I really hate that personally. You figure every Monday night, that's 3 hours of wrestling that you're watching. That's kind of information overload, to be quite honest. And so for someone like me who watches it taped and is on the West Coast, I can't watch it. When Raw started for me, that's when Sting and Orton were on the WWE Network talking. So I could have theoretically skipped Raw and just watched them talk. And also, by the way, thank you, WWE, for spoiling the hell out of that, saying Sting is on Raw tonight. Oh, thank you, by the way. I'm on the West Coast. Thanks for screwing me over. I appreciate that. So that's something that I absolutely hate. And I really wish that they wouldn't do it. I understand that they're going to, but me as a fan, I wish that they wouldn't.
Okay, I'm going off a tangent. Do you think that actually USA should just say from now on, WWE is going to be live? Regardless, East Coast, West Coast, Hawaii, whatever. If it's going to be on at, in this case, it would be 5 p.m. your time, but mm-hmm. it's going to be 5 p.m. until 8 p.m. Do you think that that's what they should just go to that from here on out?
Yeah, actually, I think that they should. I understand that they're, you know, the prime time here on the West Coast is 8 o'clock, but, you know, when you hold back something that's a quote unquote sporting event, I think that it hurts. You know, back in the day, they used to do this for sports games. And something that would happen is that you might get a call from a buddy who is on, you know, East Coast and you're on the West Coast and say, oh, did you see the game? The Bears lost. And then it'd be like, oh, well, that's great. It was going to air here, you know, like on a Monday night thing or something. And I missed that. That's great. You know, and I think it's the same thing for this. I think that you need to have this live or at least live-ish. And, you know, something like Hawaii, which is, I think, a little different because over there it would start at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, people are going to be at work. I understand. You probably can't do it then. But you could then do a 7 or an 8 o'clock there. But for the West Coast, I think it's a little different. You know, most people have DVRs and anyone that's going to be watching that, you know, it's not like someone waits until 8 o'clock and then they go, I'm not going to read any spoilers, or I'm going to make sure the WWE app on my phone is disabled to send me messages. You know, that's kind of the stuff that you have to do then to watch it on the West Coast, which is, in my opinion, kind of dumb.
Yeah. Anyways, so let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code off the mark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to say big. From items at wshop.com, because guess what? I just didn't get my own Kevin Owens t-shirt. Thank you very much. Best $7.38 I ever spent. By the way, did you use the coupon code I sent you for $25?
No, actually, I was going to ask you about that.
It's legit, believe it or not.
Okay.
Try it out at your checkout, but they sent me two codes.
Hmm.
So it better work for you. I'll just say that they gave it to us as a perk since we talk wrestling. That's not truthful, but I'll just say that. Anyway, so let's talk Impact Wrestling now. Hair versus hair match. This is a bloody one. So what were your thoughts on this?
This is pretty crazy that partway through the match that they turned the screen gray because Spud was just busted open. I mean, it was like a tomato, dude. It was terrible. I really didn't think that Spud was going to win this, but he made a believer out of me. And not that I didn't like Spud before, but I just was amazed at the type of work ethic that he had put in. And I mean, kudos to TNA for allowing these two to finish, or not finish, but you know, like basically put a exclamation point on the feud, and also putting their faith behind Spud, because that says a lot. It really does. So kudos to them for that. What did you think of the match, and you know, what did you think of Spud losing his hair?
Okay, I don't get the whole fact that they turned the screen black and white.
It was because it was too bloody.
Yeah, but at some point, why don't they have like someone come by and wipe, or like help Spike or help Spud get rid of some blood? I mean, there's a lot of times where they'll have someone cut at ringside, give him a towel, do something, try and close the cut up as soon as possible. I mean, a lot of guys use super glue, of all things, to get the bleeding to stop. But overall, I thought the match was interesting. I was surprised they didn't run it with, you know, like have it so it's in Technicolor, if you want to say that. I wish they would have left it that way, but.
Hey, you know, I get why they did that. I don't think it's a bad idea. But
this makes you just like the WWE now.
No, because yes. if he got a little bit of a cut, then they would have been like, no,
we can't do that. We're going to have to stitch him up right here.
Whereas this, they let it go.
Well, how much is too much blood then? At what point do you say, oh, this
he
is
lost
too
a
much.
Lot. I mean, he lost a lot of blood. It was pretty crazy.
Unless it was like a fountain shooting out. I mean,
it pretty much was. I mean, yeah, you saw it. It was pretty crazy. So, but the match itself was pretty good. It's definitely an exclamation point on the feud. So kudos to them for that. Andy, let's talk about Bram and Magnus. We talked about them very lightly for TNA, but these two, it got very personal in the ring. Bram had tied Magnus up in the ropes and then held Mickey James, you know, was threatening to basically like attack her unless Magnus kissed his boots. And so Magnus did. Incredibly personal between these two. I mean, what do you think? Is this going to just end kind of like in a bloodbath, kind of like with Spud and EC3?
I think this is going to be one of those things where it has to end this way. And I do like the fact that Mickey James has been brought into this because, of course, we haven't seen her in a while, but she doesn't have to do much. She just has to be there, basically. And she's there with her husband. So, of course, you know, it's not too bad then. I'm wondering how much further they're going to push this feud. Like, because I think there's a point where you're like, whoa, that's too much. But then there's also the point where you're like, you know what, maybe a little bit more. So I'm just wondering, I'm just more curious on, are they going to make it so he is going to, like, get stuck making out with Mickey James, Bram is? And, you know, is that crossing the line since Magnus and Mickey James are going to be getting married?
Mm-hmm. So. Well, I actually think this is made for some pretty good television. That's one of the things I feel that this feud has done, and one of the things that TNA has done a pretty good job at, is that they have certain feuds that are very different, but very interesting at the same time. This one is very different than EC3 and Spud, and is very interesting. You have James Storm and the Revolution against the Wolves, and also against the Hardys at the same time, and I think that's interesting. So this is something that TNA does that is... doing very, very well. So kudos to them for that. And this feud, it's just getting started. And, you know, I think that it's going to end, in a bloodbath, in my opinion.
Now, with something that's happening, Samoa Joe's going to be in Ring of Honor.
Oh, he is.
Okay, now, has he actually debuted on TV yet? Because I missed the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, he was on the pay-per-view. And that was a pretty big deal. He, walked up to... Jay Briscoe and just got in his face, and it was pretty cool. And then this last week, because I don't know how Ring of Honor does their TV stuff, you know, for me, what I saw last week was Jay Briscoe's in the ring, and Joe gets in the ring with him and gets in his face, and you know, the crowd's chanting, "Joe is gonna kill you," and Joe says, "I want that belt, and I'm gonna wrestle you for it at the next pay-per-view." You know what? I think it's like Wrestle War or something like that. So, but it's interesting because we're seeing him there. We're seeing him Saturday morning on Ring of Honor, and we're seeing him Friday night on TNA. Is that kind of weird for you to see one performer and two promotions in the same week?
Well, you know, Ring of Honor does something different than TNA. I think TNA is catering more towards WWE fans, and Ring of Honor doesn't care. They basically want the hardcore people. They want the NXT crowd at a 2,000-seat arena, basically. Ring of Honor, it's different. It's almost like, okay, if I took Doug to a Ring of Honor show, he probably wouldn't know most of the wrestlers in there. But he would know, like, oh, I know who Samoa Joe is. I've seen this guy wrestle. And then he's gonna get into it right away. I think some people, when they see it, it's almost like they're like, oh, wow, how come the guy's not, this is way too fast. I always say that if you watch a PWG show and then you watch a WWE show, it's completely different. And because there's basically after the first two matches in a, basically after two matches at a PWG show, it's basically the same amount of spots in an entire 3-hour Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so fast paced. And I think some casual fans won't, it's hard for them to get accustomed to it. That's how I can make
it. No, I hear you.
But,
I actually think that Doug would enjoy Ring of Honor. It is a little faster paced, but it's not quite ECW, but it's not quite TNA or even WCW, you know? So it's like Ring of Honor somewhere in the middle there, I would say, where they have some storytelling, they need to do a better job of slowing down the pace for certain wrestlers. It can't just 100% be all fast, because then it's just not exciting. You know, if you had only high flyers for wrestlers, there's a point in time where you're like, oh, hey, it's all high flyers. Or if you only had cage matches, or only a Hell in a Cell, or only ladder matches, it gets boring after a while. And I think with PWG, I think that's one of the things that it suffers from. CZW, another example of it. You know, great wrestlers, but they definitely need a, you know, some pacing, some staggering. Even Ring of Honor, I think, to an extent does. But anyway,
anyways, Andy, it is weird seeing him on both shows, because that's why you shouldn't tape so far out in advance. Now, the one thing that they've been teasing for a while, Kurt Angle versus Bobby Lashley. So they went at it, and Kurt Angle is now your new TNA champion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think that this was done because there's a chance that Lashley is going to be leaving, or do you think that this is just the right call for the time?
I was hearing rumors that the reason that they made Kurt Angle champion is because he's a former Olympic gold medalist, albeit it's weird to say now, but 20 years ago is when he won his medals. And but Destination America apparently is very much behind the idea, because he is a person that they can put the brand behind. They can have vignettes for Kurt Angle, former Olympic gold medalist, you know, a former WWE champion, someone who's headlined WrestleMania, that sort of thing. You know, that makes sense to me. The only downside is, though, Kurt Angle's getting up there in age, and, you know, he's been out with injuries, and that's not good. You don't want to have your champion out with injuries. You know, like Kevin Owens, you know, is hurt right now. You know, we don't have confirmation on how long it's going to be. You know, we've heard a few different timetables, but, you know, you don't want to have your champion out with an injury. And I think that's something with Kurt Angle, that he is susceptible to injury. So who do you put the title on then? You know, what do you do with that?
Yeah, and I never thought about the fact you could say an Olympic champion is going to be on Destination America. I guess that is a good selling point. That makes sense. I actually can see the fact that, but you could do the same thing with Bobby Lashley, though. But I guess he's not an Olympic gold medalist, though.
No, MMA fighter. You know, you could do that with him, but
I could see you doing like a 10-second commercial, or say 20 years ago, Kurt Angle became Olympic gold medalist, and now he is the TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Check him out Friday nights on Destination America. Great, I just wrote them a commercial, and they're gonna air it.
pretty much, you know. But yeah, I think that's the big thing with this. Is Kurt Angle deserving of it? Absolutely. I don't want him to Hulk Hogan his welcome, though. You know, I would like to see some other people have the title. I think keeping EC3 away from the title as long as they have has been a great move, because once he wins that, it's going to be really cool. But I would like to see Magnus with the title again. I think that Magnus and Bram fighting over the title would be really cool. Their feud does not need it. However, I think that it would be really cool when Magnus finally wins the title, who knows when that'll be, to have Bram say, I want a shot at that. You know, that would be really cool. You know, I really hope that TNA does something like that, because, yeah, Kurt Angle holding the title is nice, but you need younger talent in there.
I actually do agree. You know, I wanted to bring up something we were talking about WrestleMania earlier, and because so we can backtrack to it. Do you think there should be an NXT match at WrestleMania?
No, I do not. Not at all.
What about for the first hour of the pre-show?
Nope. Doesn't need it. WrestleMania is not about NXT. WrestleMania is only about WWE, which is Raw and SmackDown. And right now, it's only Raw.
I don't like your opinion.
I actually like it better when you disagree with me. So why do you think that they should have an NXT match?
If you have a second brand, why not promote it more? Because there's going to be people who buy the WWE Network just for this. Why not show NXT stuff? Why not have NXT, like some NXT matches during their access that they're going to run 2 hours from Thursday or Wednesday on, I think is what it is. They're going to run 2 hours on the network live. Why not have at least one NXT match each one of those days, or two of them? And why not say that, oh my gosh, I'm writing it for him. Have a tournament to see who gets to wrestle Kevin Owens at WrestleMania if his meniscus is back up.
No, what I would do, you know, I like your idea, of course, of promoting the brand. But what I would do is, you know, during the 2 hours or 4 hours of pre-show, you know, that they're going to have NXT commercials during that and say, you want to see some great wrestling, you know, basically Barry WrestleMania. But, if, you know, you say you want to see some, you know, the superstars of tomorrow, you know, the young and hungry Bucks, you know, tuned to NXT. You know, that's what you do when you play that, you know, every like half hour or whatever to try to get people interested in it. And I think that's what I would do. I wouldn't have that match because it, two reasons. One, Kevin Owens is probably going to outshine, you know, the majority of the matches on there, maybe say for one or two matches. So Kevin Owens' match is going to be one of the best. And the other reason is because people are going to be like, why should I care about this? Why do I care about this match? I have not seen anything about this. That's not what I'm doing.
Anyways, the other thing I wanted to bring up, what about back-to-back Raws for people on the, especially in your case, since you're on the Pacific Coast? Do you think they should run back-to-back Raws only on the Pacific Coast, but have just the one for people over here? That way you can watch it live, and then some people, actually that wouldn't work because the overrun.
Yeah, the overrun would mess it up. But I like your idea, though. I actually think that's a really smart one.
I'm sure there's some way you can go with that, but oh well. Anyway, say it was just a thought process out there. I think it'd probably make some people happy, because I know at one point you were able to watch Raw early, and then they decided
that.
To take that away from you. Ah, people. Oh well. So anyway, so we should probably tell everyone what's happening. We're going to do the regular Off the Mark, of course, next week. But we're also going to have our pre-show and then, of course, our post-show as well. So check us out on next Wednesday and then also on the regular show on Friday. And then check us out Sunday night, Monday morning for our post-show for WrestleMania. So anything else you want to add, Aaron?
No, I think that you covered it.
All right, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.